30 U.S. Infantry Regiment, marching 21 steps, symbolizing the highest military honor of the 21-gun salute. In front of the monument of the tomb is inscribed, "Here rest in honored glory an American soldier known but to God." And when I started looking this up, and I was like amazed at these at this particular monument, at this particular memorial, and the detail that goes into this, and the detail, these sentinels that they stand guard, and the changing of the guard has got to be something amazing, Brother Jay. Did you get to see the changing of the guard? And the 21 steps, and how many children did families brought their parents brought their kids? Was there a good amount of people that brought their kids? And did you see people from all different ages? So it was a multi-generational thing to encounter and to witness, to be a part of seeing something that is highly honored. These military people don't even take a salary. They're volunteers, and they memorize multiple pages, I believe 7 pages of things pertaining to what they do. And they're the finest in their regiment and what they're able to do, and it's mind blowing. I encourage you to go home and get on YouTube and look this up. And it could be the changing of the guard is just a few minutes long, but it's amazing to see that. But I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes about guards and memorials. And I felt God was speaking to me Friday. I went to youth convention, and he started speaking some things in my spirit, Brother Kellum. And as Brother Wells was teaching us up there in the leadership sessions that we had, is to write these things down, to develop that sermon garden where you have a thought and you just start putting these thoughts down, because as you and I both know that we are short-minded people. If we don't capture a thought in about 10 minutes, we're going to totally forget what we were just thinking about. And I can't even remember where I put my keys half the time, or where did I put my wallet last? I'm like, where did I put that thing? I tried to find my checkbook earlier because I was having some car trouble and I needed to get it towed to the mechanics. I couldn't even pull out of my driveway this morning. It wouldn't start. So I'm like, where did I put my checkbook? I just saw it 5 minutes ago. So we are, by nature, forgetful people. It's who we are. But there's these memorials that are in place to remind us of things. Something that happened a long time ago. World War I, World War II, the Vietnam War, the Korean War. It's a memorial there to remind us that we'll never forget what happened during those wars. But memorials are known throughout history, even in Scripture, in the Old and New Testament. And I want to share some examples with you in Joshua 4, 2, and 3. And this is right in the beginning, in the first few chapters of the Old Testament. And it says, "Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man, and command he them, saying, take you henceforth out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place from where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you and lead them in the lodging place where ye lodge this night." In verse 6 it says, "That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask where their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." It wasn't for just that particular generation that experienced this, but it was for the future generations. It was for the ones, for the next generation, and the generation after that, and the generation after that. Because they're going to ask these questions. It's fresh in their mind because they just experienced it. And everybody throughout their lifetime that was there to witness what happened, they will never forget it. It is so crystal clear in their mind. 20 years after what they just did, 25 years after what they just did, you know right where you were when some of you experienced, knew where you were, and I'm going to age you when they landed on the moon, when the man took their first step on the moon. Is anybody alive to remember that? And not to be, not to pick on anybody. Does anybody remember where they were during 9/11? I will never forget that day as long as I live. I will never forget when I was working on in Geneva off Fabian Parkway. I was working on a two-story house, and I remember the builder coming upstairs and saying what happened. I literally just dropped everything, and I ran out the door and went home, and I turned the TV on, and I only cared very little at that time. And but it was something that I will never forget. I remember my cousin, he just retired this last month from the Aurora Fire Department. He's a battalion chief. He retired as a battalion chief for the city of Aurora, but he was a lieutenant at the time, and he went as a group of men to go on a bunker brigade. They were getting firefighters from all over the United States, and they went there, and they were on the front page of the Beacon newspaper, and I'll never forget that. That was an amazing thing. And I don't mean to get emotional about some of the stuff, but they were unforgettable experiences in our lives, and they're marked in our hearts and our minds. But to be honest with you, my kids, it doesn't strike them with this emotion or with such a sharpness as it does us, because we knew right where we were then, and we'll never forget it. But there's a memorial set up at Arlington National Cemetery that has this inscription that I just read. And there is a memorial at Ground Zero. And it's an awesome thing to see this kind of waterfall that goes down into this, to like where the foundation was laid, at that where one of the Twin Towers was built, and that came down. So I encourage you, get on YouTube and look at some of the stuff. It's incredible. In my lifetime, I love to go see some of these things. As a reminder, these memorials were set up to remind the next generation, not just for us, but for them. I will never forget 9/11, but I want to remind my kids about 9/11 also, because it was life-changing. I remember the respect people had for the American flag. Do you remember people put the American flag kind of in their windows or Old Navy? Oh, my goodness. If you had an Old Navy t-shirt on and you had like the year and the American flag on it, man, that was a thing. You know, come the 4th of July, they sold millions of those t-shirts with the American flag, and you don't see them quite as much now, but this generation doesn't remember that because they grew up and it's not as vivid in their mind. And you can't blame them. That's why God put memorials. And God himself, he told Joshua, put these memorials in there for this next generation and the generation after that. I want to remind my people of the generations to come what I did, the promises that I declared to them and that are being fulfilled in their lives to this very day. Don't ever forget them. God knows that we are forgetful people. And I need to put these 12 stones, take them with you, put them there. And it says Joshua took another 12 stones and made another memorial also. He wanted the 12 people to do that, one from each tribe, but he goes, I want a personal memorial. I want to do something above and beyond what God even asked me to do and had commanded one from every tribe to do, but I want to make a personal memorial, and I wanted to never forget this for myself. So he took 12 of his own. He did this in his own doing. I don't ever want to forget. This is for me. This may not be remembered, but I will never forget this in my lifetime. One thing also comes to my mind when Peter, James, and John go up to Mount Transfiguration, and he had good intentions when he said, he goes, let us make, he goes, if it's okay, Jesus, can I make a memorial? I saw Isaiah and Moses up here on the mountain with you. I don't want to ever forget this, and I want to remind everybody else what I encountered and what James and John also encountered and saw here at this moment in time, because I don't know if it'll ever happen again in my lifetime. This is really special. But this memorial, it, as known in Scripture, is to show other people of what had happened and what has been experienced right then and there for future generations. So I remember as I went to IYC last week, and I'll be honest with you, it doesn't get old to me. And I've been a teenager more than twice already, 47 years old, and I still enjoy going there. And I'm realizing, you know what? It's hard to keep up with these guys. You don't get much sleep when you go there. They will wear you out. I went to the afterburner, and I made it about 20 minutes. I drove separate. I said, I'm going back to the room. I cannot hang with you guys. You guys are going to wear me out. I need to get up and drive home in the morning. You guys can sleep in the car or do whatever. You jump in the van. I need a certain amount of sleep to function. But there's some things that happened that Friday when I was there that do you ever have a God encounter to where you're at a loss for words, where you can't speak? There was such a move of God in that place on a Friday night. I've never in my life seen teenagers that have such a hunger for God as I do these groups of people. The man that the evangelist that they brought in, he didn't get halfway through his sermon before 2,000 kids just flooded the altar. And they had such a hunger for God, and they were so attentive in being there and wanted everything that God had for them that night that he was able to tell them what to pray, how to pray, when to stop praying. You get 2,500 kids together, and they get jumping and shouting, excited and worshiping. And then he said, stop right now. And you could hear a pin drop within 5 seconds. There was that kind of hunger for God. And I'm sitting there, and God's imparting things into my spirit personally that to this, many days later, and I'm like, I can't even hardly talk about it. I just sit there and I ponder. Do you ever have God encounters where you just ponder? I can't explain it. I don't know even how I could properly explain what God has done and what I experienced here, but I'll never forget it. And that was one of those things that I had Friday night. But there's things that we have every time we come to the house of God that we encounter that God says, I don't want you to forget these times. These are special times. This place where we come together for a midweek service just for just a very short time for 1 hour a week. He goes, I want to walk with you, and I want to talk with you. I want to walk with you and talk with you together. And that's what I felt with him saying to me here tonight, just as I walked up here tonight before I came to speak to you. He goes, let's walk together. Let's talk together. I want to share something with my people collectively. And I don't know if they'll be able to share it maybe with everybody else, but God wants you to remember something here tonight, to not forget the things that he spoke to you in the house of God. Those unforgettable times where he had a messenger come into the house of the Lord and he spoke specifically into your life. And that man left the next day and he was gone. And he wants you to hold on to those things, and he doesn't want you to forget those things that he spoke into your life. It's important that we make memorials and we remember what God did and where he did it and how he did it, and look around and see who was all there when he did it. I'm sure Joshua looked around. This is a generation that is crossing the Jordan River. These are the people in history that I am going to do something that has never been done before in history. I'm going to do this. And God says, make a memorial. He goes, I don't want you to forget this. And I don't want you, these kids to forget it. I don't want their children's children to forget it. He goes, I don't want you to forget these things. But I want the next generation to be reminded of these things. I want to remind them of what I've done and what I've promised them. God has promised people in this church things. And it is the enemy's job to try to distract us from that time when God spoke specifically into our lives. If we could recall that moment when God spoke to me, if it was in this house, or if it was in my house, or if it was in my car, may we never forget that. He goes, I want you to look back and to remind where you were when I spoke specifically into your life. When you felt my presence in such a way that you could not describe it to nobody else, and all you could do was ponder that time and that moment in life. And I want you to look around, and I want you to look at each other, And I want you to remember that together. We need each other. We walk together and we talk together as we move forward together in this journey together. It's easy for some. We're all in different phases in life. And we're talking about, in Sunday school, about these storms in particular that we encounter in our life. And one person or a group of people could be in a different season, and one can encounter a certain storm. And God is able to speak to us in that storm. And I'll never forget those times when he spoke clearly to me in those storms. But he wants you to regard this time as precious. He goes, don't take this lightly. He goes, I wanted to do something in here that I don't want you to forget. Not just tonight, but every time we get together. And there's things that will come in our life that will cause distractions. Proverbs 25 and 20 says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." So I want to talk to you tonight not only about memorials and remembering things, but I wanted to talk to you about being on guard. There was that guard that was at the Arlington National Cemetery, that the sentinels that walk in step, and they take 21 steps and they stop for 21 seconds, and they turn around and they wait 21 seconds and they walk another 21 steps, and they do this on the hour, every hour. At the end of the hour, they change guard, and they do this all the time. There's something that God wants us also to do, to remember, but to be on guard. And there's no better example than I could think of is in Nehemiah. And I love this, the book of Nehemiah. When you open the book, in the very first chapter, it's Nehemiah prays a prayer of repentance. And I love that. And he's a man that gets news of how the walls of Jerusalem are torn down. And he has a burden for Jerusalem. And he has a burden for those walls that were once up and once strong in Jerusalem at one time. But he goes into intercessory prayer. He prays and he stands in the gap and he prays for the children of Israel. And he stands between God and the children that have walked away from him, that have disobeyed him, that got distracted, that allowed walls to come down in their lives personally before the walls came down figuratively and literally in the city of Jerusalem. Walls came down personally. He goes, they forgot me. They forgot my relationship. And I got thinking about Friday when Brother Gentry was speaking. He was one of the speakers in the midday, during the midday service. He goes, you know, it's good that we worship and that we praise God when we come to the house of the Lord. And sometimes the devil, he's even okay with that at times. And that doesn't bother him so much. But what really bothers him, and what he has a hard time fighting against, is when you go home from here and you have that continued relationship with God when you wake up Thursday morning, and when you go to bed Thursday night, and you go on Friday when everybody's thinking about the end of the week and going to the bar and having a good time and just forgetting about the rest of the week. He goes, I want them to have a relationship. I want them to remember where they were just 48 hours ago. And by nature, we are all forgetful people. And it's just who we are. And God wants us to be reminded of things. Reminded of things of old. Reminded of what caused those walls to come down. And is anybody going to stand in the gap and have a burden for those walls to be built back up? It didn't come without opposition. It didn't come without a fight. It didn't come without threats. It didn't come without demonic oppression. And I'll be honest with you, we're all going to encounter this at times. We're going to encounter demonic oppression. But God has empowered us with his spirit, and greater is he that is in with us than he that is in the world. And we're able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. When he throws these fiery darts of the wicked at us, we're able to hold up our shield of faith. But there's times when he's going to try to distract us, to cause us to put our shield down. And the walls didn't come down overnight. Those walls didn't deteriorate in one day, but they took time. They took time. And the enemy's favorite tool is distraction. What can I do to distract them? When is their time of devotion and prayer life? Is it in the morning? Is it at night? Can I cause enough of a diversion tactic to get them to not to even pray to their God for the whole day? If I could do this and get them so flustered and frustrated, maybe I could get it the second day. And I come here on a Wednesday night, and I can wake up, and we need to know about the wiles of the devil and what he desires to do. He desires to he's satisfied with putting just a hairline crack in our wall, in our walking relationship with him. He goes, I'm okay with that crack for now, because I'll keep working on that crack. I'll keep pressing and pushing on that crack. There's one thing that we have in this life that lasts forever, and that's our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. That's something that we need to be on guard and take guard every day of our life. It has an eternity. This flesh, it's not what it once was 25, 30 years ago. It's going to decay someday. But my soul is going to last an eternity. And I need to be on guard every day of my life. At morning time, at noon time, and at night time. Am I meditating upon him? Am I thinking about him? Am I open enough to him to let him speak to my spirit as I'm going throughout my work day? He knows we have to work. He knows that we have things to do and we have people to encounter. But I'm open. Am I open and susceptible to him? Have I heard from the word of the Lord before I encountered anybody else today? Has the enemy succeeded in putting a hairline crack in that wall? Nehemiah, he saw what happened over time, and he wasn't satisfied. And he went to praying and fasting and standing in the gap. And he had such a burden that it caused anguish. And there are certain ways to pray and fast. And it could be a discipline that you could do once a week or once a month. But there's a different kind of fast where you lose your appetite. Where you just like, you're like sick. You're like, it's time to eat. Everybody's hungry. And I'm like, I can't do this right now. I need to be kind of by myself. In Nehemiah, I'm sure he did this. And after he prayed a prayer of repentance, he got up. And I love this. He looked around at the broken walls that were down, and he said in Nehemiah 2:20, he says, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us, therefore his servants will arise and build." He was encouraged in his spirit, but first he repented and turned to God. He stood in the gap and prayed for others that did not turn to God yet. They were not turned to God. But it takes one person. It takes one repentant person. It takes one person to stand in the gap. Lord, I'm turning my heart to you. I'm turning my mind to you. But Lord, I'm standing in the gap for somebody else that isn't here yet. They haven't turned their heart to you. They haven't turned their mind back to you. But Lord, there's walls tore down in their life, but I'm going to stand in the gap and I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to fast for them. I'll never forget this as long as I live. Rachel Cawthorpe would tell me, she goes, every Tuesday I fast, and I fast that God will fill you with his spirit. And it happened. She stood in the gap and prayed for me, even when I wasn't thinking about it, I didn't have God on my mind. It was every Tuesday. I'm praying and I'm fasting for you, for God to fill you with his spirit. That's the power of prayer. That's the power of standing in the gap. That's the power of building walls. Man, I'm encouraged. I want to build some walls in my life. I want to build some walls to where it affects other people. I want to encourage somebody to build some walls in their life. In Nehemiah 4:12-14, it says, "The Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, 'They will come from all directions and attack us.' So I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in exposed areas. I stationed the people to stand guard by families armed with swords and spears and bows. Then I looked over the situation. I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious and fights for you. Fight for your brothers, fights for your sons and your daughters and your wives and your homes. Stand in the gap and pray for the ones that aren't as strong as you. And I didn't even see this at first, but it says Nehemiah had placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of walls in the exposed places. There are exposed places and vulnerable places in our life that we need to put up guards. And we're vulnerable. There is nothing stronger than when God's people are together. But there are people that are in vulnerable places and that are and what does God do? Let me rephrase this. What does the enemy do when we're at our lowest point? How does he kind of hammer on the wall and cause a crack? Tries to inflict low self-esteem. That's one of the things that I could think of. And is anybody can help me with this? Is there any other areas in our life where the enemy has tried to inflict pressure in our lives to cause cracks besides low self-esteem, Sister Christie? He uses our own family members? Absolutely. Nehemiah not only had to deal with the enemy, he had to deal with people complaining that were the people that were helping build the walls. He was motivated. He was trying to encourage people, but he had to work against the enemy, but he had to work sometimes against his own people. They were like pushing tires that were flat. Like, man, this is not easy. I'm pushing, I'm pulling, I'm prodding, and this is not easy. And that had to just wear him out sometimes. But there's a God that gives us a supernatural strength. He's empowered us with his spirit. There is something that energizes us that you and I can't explain, but that's one of the things that Brother Wells talked about, the infallible proof of God that he exists, that he's alive, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives within us, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He has empowered us. He is my encourager. This is why I am encouraged every day to thrust forward, to move forward, to shore up some walls in my life too. It's a continual process. It takes maintenance. It's maintenance oriented. It takes effort. It takes perseverance. It takes discipline to continually monitor and take care of those walls in my life. There's something else that I need to share. The enemy could also use confidence. And you could be thinking, how can confidence be used in a negative way? God can instill confidence into you to where you may think that confidence is yours and not given from him. And the enemy may entice you to do something that God doesn't want you to do. And you may want to step out in confidence, but that confidence, it's the enemy trying to walk with you enough to distract you. And I'll never forget this. And I saw this in a dream where I saw a young man. He had a load of confidence. And I saw him trying to take a step away from the church. And I saw him trying to press against the pastor. And I tried to hold on with everything that I had. It was 6 o'clock in the morning when I got this dream. I rolled out of bed. I didn't even get out of my room. And I got on my knees and I prayed in the gap for that person. And I said, I pray, Lord, that the enemy will not use his confidence against him that he has and use it to walk away from the house of God and away from his people. He's using low self-esteem. He's using confidence. He'll use anything he can to distract, to put a hairline crack into our walking relationship with God. So I'm challenging every one of us tonight. Plan for tomorrow. Plan to keep those walls shirred up. Get a word of God into your spirit, even if it's one verse. Don't leave the house of God or don't walk into your workplace without having a word of God to take with you. It could be that very word of God that you need to get you through the day, but it could be that very word of God that you need to share with somebody else also. That has no walls, that are vulnerable, that are exposed, that are in weak places every day, and they see somebody as strong as you, and they see you walking and talking and having a relationship with God, and they're saying, I wish I had walls like that man. I wish I had walls like that woman. I want to be strong like them. I want to be strong like her. What a powerful witness we are when we activate the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It can be the cares of life. It can be getting a bit busy. It can be complacency that would cause to lower my shield and let my faith down. I need to carry that shield of faith with me every day of my life because there's fiery darts of the wicked that are thrown at me every day of my life. And I need to keep that shield up, and I don't need to be distracted enough to ever put that shield of faith down. For me, for my soul, because it has an eternal value to it, because it will never die. It's going to go somewhere after this life, after I breathe my last breath. Are the walls that I'm putting up in my life, and the enemy could use this also, keeping the good from coming in? Am I too guarded to open the door when he knocks? I put up walls in my life, but at times when he knocks, am I going to open the door? Or am I so guarded? Am I guarded by maybe a past hurt in my life? And I've heard this said more than once in the past year. And I heard this at Passing the Mantle, and I feel like I need to share it tonight. It's important that we put on the whole armor of God every day, right? But it's very important that if we have ever been wounded, that we heal before we put that armor on. Because if we put that armor on, and if we haven't been healed properly, we can die in battle with armor on and bleeding on the inside. Every time we come to the house of God, if we need healing, not just physical healing, but healing right here. Lord, I need you to heal this area in my life. Lord, I want to be empowered by your spirit. Lord, I need a touch from you. Lord, I've closed doors because people have hurt me in my life. And I've shut so many people out. I've even shut you out. I built up the wrong kind of walls in my life, Lord. Lord, you've knocked and you've knocked and you're a perfect gentleman and you did not, and I did not open the door and let you in. But Lord, I need to let you in so I can heal properly, so I can be armored up, so I can fight this battle effectively. I want to close with this thought. It was a place where Jacob had found a stone to rest his head to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from heaven up, from earth up to heaven. And he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. A place where God spoke directly to Jacob. A place where God said he was with Jacob and said he will protect Jacob and wherever he went. The place where God says, I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. When Jacob woke up, he took that stone that he placed his head on against that night before, and he made a memorial pillar, and he named the place Bethel, which means house of God. Where the place where God read my mail when I came to church on a Wednesday night. The place where I came, the time that I came to the house of God, and nothing was going right. But he knew right where I was. And he was the peace in the storm. He was the voice in the storm. Where he spoke directly to me. May I never forget these memorials, these moments. Maybe it's a time of self-examination. Lord, the enemy, I don't want to give him any more credit than he deserves, but I've put some, I built some walls in my life, and I built proper walls in my life, but I've let distractions also come in my life, and I let my guard down, and I've even let the shield of faith down to certain times in my life. Lord, I want to bring that shield back up. I want to be empowered by your spirit, because those arrows are going to be coming at me when I wake up tomorrow morning, and I want to have the shield of faith. I want to be ready. I want to be armored up. But I want to be whole. And he said, as many as touched him were made whole. And maybe if I'm lacking of anything in my life where I need some areas for him to clean up to where he made better in my life, but I'm not complete. I need him. I need to reach out and touch him so I can have a wholeness in my life. So I can have the energy to build these proper walls in my life. Lord, I pray for clarity. I'll never forget when God spoke in this place, and I drove from Florida all night, and I cut my vacation short, and he says, what are you asking for? Ask me anything, and I will give it to you. Do you pray for acuity? Pray for sharpness of mind? Are you forgetful? Do you forget things? Are you distracted by things? Pray for acuity. Do you remember? I'll never forget that. Do you feel like there's not enough time in the day? He says, I'm a God that is able to make time stand still. I've done it before. I will never forget that day, Brother Kellum. It was last summer, but it was in Bethel. It was in the house of God when I heard that voice. We could stand at this time. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the walk that you have walked with us, and the talk that you have talked with us here tonight, in Jesus' name, Lord. May every time that we encounter you, Lord, may we never be the same again. And may we remember those moments, Lord. If we need to jot them down on a piece of paper and make a diary of them, Lord, may we just sit back and ponder your goodness and your faithfulness to us. Those times of encouragement, those times of peace in the storm, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. I pray that you would go with every one of us, Lord, as we leave here today. Lord, may we be encouraged. May we be empowered. Lord, may there be an expectancy next time we come to the house of the Lord together. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. You're dismissed.